Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players, uncover their stories, and discover what makes them tick. If you love guitar, music, and the backstory of people's lives, stick around. You're in the right place. I want to talk to you about the Bose S1, which is an amazing speaker for acoustic guitar gigs that I recently got to test drive. The S1 has two separate channels. It's got one for guitar and one for microphone. And there's a third channel you can use for a looper or for backing tracks that you can access by Bluetooth or through a 1/8 inch input. And the S1 is actually portable and rechargeable for up to 11 hours. So the guitar and mic channels, they have separate independent tone, volume, and reverb controls. And they also have something called a proprietary tone match switch, which EQs, optimizes, and restores the natural sound of your acoustic guitar, which, as you know, is typically your biggest problem when you're playing acoustic amps. I tested the S1 speaker, and it's very responsive to pickups, and the tone, volume, and reverb controls genuinely work great. You can position the S1 four different ways. You can tilt it back to broadcast out to an audience, or you can put it horizontally, vertically, or on a stand. The S1 also has a proprietary Bose accelerometer, which automatically adjusts the EQ and optimizes the sound based on whichever one of these four positions you're using. So effectively, you have an acoustic guitar amp, a PA, and a killer Bluetooth speaker all in one. So the bottom line is, if you're an acoustic player, there's absolutely nothing out there that sounds this good and this big, that's portable and battery powered. And the S1 also happens to be the best Bluetooth speaker Bose makes, which says a lot. I used it myself for a party we had here one night, and it was absolutely amazing. All my kids were freaking out. It's like having a full stereo system out on your patio. You can easily use this for DJing, tailgating, or whatever you want. Before this, you'd have to spend thousands of dollars on a bunch of equipment to get the same thing the S1 does. On top of that, it's sleek and it looks great, just like all Bose devices do. And besides whatever money back guarantee you get from wherever you buy the S1, Bose also warranties the S1 for 2 years from any kind of defects in materials or performance. For more information and to find out where to get your own S1, I'd like you to go to pro.bose.com/podcast. Check it out at pro.bose.com/podcast and get the S1. It's outstanding. This is an important announcement for anyone thinking about advertising here on Everyone Loves Guitar. We've experienced incredible growth. We currently have over 82,000 monthly listens, and I would anticipate cracking six figures in the next few months. We've also grown our YouTube subscriber base by 72 times. During this time, we've kept our advertising rates consistent, but I wanted to let you know we'll be increasing these rates after the first of the new year. So if you're a business looking to generate new leads or increase your cash flow by adding new clients or customers, or if you're looking for general brand exposure, or if you're a label looking to promote new music and you want to lock into the current advertising rates before they go up at the end of this year, then listen closely. Fill in the short form at everyonelovesguitar.com/advertise. That's everyonelovesguitar.com/advertise. Even if you want to advertise next year, contact us now and you'll get to lock into the current rates before they go up at the end of this year. Thanks for listening. See you soon. If you want to buy or sell a home or investment property and you're here in the Tampa Bay area, in Hillsborough, Pinellas, or Pasco counties, then listen up. West Florida Real Estate is a local residential real estate broker that's helped over 250 Bay Area homeowners buy and sell their properties in the last 4 years alone. If you're looking to sell, you'll want to get their free report, the 7 biggest mistakes homeowners make when hiring a realtor. And if you're looking to buy a property, you definitely want to get your hands on the 21 most expensive mistakes Tampa home buyers make when buying a home. Each one of these reports is going to save you time and money. Inside, you'll discover the 7 most important things to consider when hiring a realtor, what to do if you're buying and selling a home at the same time, and the danger of choosing a realtor who agrees with everything you say. To get your hands on these free reports, head on over to westfloridarealestate.com. That's westfloridarealestate.com. Hey, this is Craig. If you like this show and you want to support it and you want to keep it free, head on over to everyonelovesguitar.com/support. That's everyonelovesguitar.com/support. Hey, everybody, this is Craig Garber. Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar. Man, we've got a totally special guest today, honoring the rhythm section in the biggest way with the one and only Greg Bissonette. A few real quick announcements. Number one, first, thanks to Matt, Greg's brother, for hooking us up. Really appreciate that. Second, there's two messages. One is you have a famous song called Two Bars of Three for Doug Bossy, and people want to know where that comes from.
Okay, well, thank you, Craig. It's an honor to be on here, and that is a song called Submarine that Matt wrote, and Matt writes all the songs that I do on my solo albums, and he produces them and plays bass and everything. So a great guitarist, Doug Bossy, and Matt and George Bernhardt, another great guitarist, and I, we had a band called the Mustard Seeds. And after the Mustard Seeds, when I did my Submarine solo album, we hired Doug to play guitar on the song Submarine, and it's in 3/4. So I counted it off. His name's Doug Bossy, B-O-S-S-I. I said, 2 bars of 3 for Doug Bossy. 1, 2, 3, 1, ready, go. So that's where that came from.
I know Doug well. I had him on the show. We became good friends. Oh. I talked to Doug like once or twice a week, man.
Holy cow.
And another question, I put out a survey to my list, and there was one question everybody wanted to know, and the question was, when did you start playing with Carla Beck?
My brother's got you going, man. My brother Matt is setting you up. I started playing with Carla Beck when I was going into the 7th grade, and she was going into the 9th grade. But playing only meant kissing.
Yeah.
She taught me how to French kiss.
There you go, man. Good.
I said, "What's a French kiss?" She said, "Well, you know, you kind of touch your tongues. You touch your tongues. How did you? I'd have to show you." She said, "Woo!"
Poor Greg. Good man. Oh. Hey, man. Well, thanks for playing along. Let me give everybody a really quick bio on Greg. Born in Detroit, he comes from a family of really talented musicians. His dad, Bud, was a drummer. His mom played piano and vibes. Obviously, his brother Matt's a great bass player, producer, vocalist, and their sister Kathy also lives and works in concert promotion in LA. Greg started taking lessons as a teenager, initially from his dad, and he also played trumpet. By teenage years, Greg and Matt were both performing professionally in and around Detroit with their dad's band, along with other professional jazz groups in the area. After high school, Greg went to North Texas State, which I've had so many wonderful musicians on here from there, during which time he played and recorded with a lot of well-known Texas jazz bands, and after that, he moved out to LA. In 82, he became the drummer for Maynard Ferguson's big band, again with his brother Matt, and they toured the world, recorded a live CD called Live in San Francisco. After the Maynard gig, Greg joined the Brandon Fields band with David Garfield on keys and John Patitucci on bass, and then he went on to tour with Tanya Maria's Latin jazz group with Luis Conte on percussion and John Pena on bass. His next gig was also with his brother Matt, playing with one of their heroes, Gino Vannelli. Gino Vannelli's like coming down here to Clearwater in like 2 weeks. It's quite funny. That band was Greg and Matt on drums and bass, Gino on vocals, Joe Vannelli and Karen Childs on keyboards, and Mike Miller, who's coming on my show in like 2 weeks, on guitar.
You've done your homework, man.
Was it his Greg's big break came in the summer of 85 when this guy called David Lee Roth, you might have heard of him, left Van Halen and started his own band. Greg got the gig playing drums with Steve Vai on guitar, of course, Billy Sheehan on bass, and Brett Tuggle on keys. The band recorded Eat 'Em and Smile and Skyscraper, both of which went multi-platinum. And then Matt joined the band for the Skyscraper tour and the next studio album, which was called A Little Ain't Enough. The videos for Yankee Rose, Going Crazy, Just Like Paradise, Stand Up, and That's Life were huge on MTV at the time. In 89, Greg had the great experience and honor to perform at the Buddy Rich Big Band on the Buddy Rich Memorial Scholarship Concert video. Were you the guy who yelled at everybody they're hiring you to do the yelling that Buddy did?
That was not me.
In 92, Greg and Matt recorded and toured with Joe Satriani, another guy I've had on here, wonderful human being, for The Extremist, and he also did a live CD of that tour. Then Greg and Matt started their own band called The Mustard Seeds in 93, with Greg talk about, with Doug Bossi and George Bernhardt. Both of those guys have been on here. I wish you would come back together, man, and make another Mustard Seeds record.
You know what's crazy? We kind of did under a different name. I did a solo album a couple of years back called Warning Will Robinson. Warning Will Robinson, look what
we've done. That's a great song.
Thank you,
Craig. Yeah, man, your vocals are great on there. That's what I was talking about.
Thank you, Craig. Well, Matt, of course, produced it, wrote it, you know, produced my vocals, told me what to play on drums. He's my musical hero. And we got Doug and George on some of the music, so it's like a reunion.
Well, when's Mustard Seeds 4, man? I would love to see that come on the show and launch the record from here. I'm a huge Mustard Seeds fan. So many guys I've talked to are.
Well, thank you. You know what's crazy, though, Craig, is that I was already doing a lot of drum clinics and a lot of recording sessions, and we started this original band, and I had to put everything on hold. And in Los Angeles, you know, when you own a home, you've got your mortgage payments, you got all these bills that come, and I was like, I gave it a year, and we're not as big as the Beatles yet, and I left my own band.
Yeah.
So maybe that wasn't the best move, but anyway, they got a great drummer named George Palacios, and he was great. So he's on the albums, that was a blast.
Matt actually said, when I saw him the other night when he was here with Elton, he goes, ask my brother why he was such a wuss and left the Mustard Seeds. That was so popular demand, Mustard Seeds, man.
Thank you.
In 95, Greg did a European tour with the band Toto after Simon Phillips, who was Toto's drummer since Jeff Porcaro's unexpected death. Simon asked Greg to fill in for him for 4 months due to an injury. Greg's also played and toured with Steve Lukather, who I had on the show here, Don Henley, Carlos Santana, Jeff Lynne and ELO, Steve Vai, who we had here, Ty Tabor, Andy Summers, Paul Gilbert, who we had here, Joe Satriani again, Frank Gambale, Steve Stevens, and Gary Hoey, who we had on here, Richie Kotzen, Brian Setzer, Tab Benoit, Larry Calt, and loads of others. Man, like a list of guitarists.
When you asked me in the questions that you sent me, who are my favorite guitarists? All those guys and more.
He also played on TV soundtracks, Mad About You. I loved that show. I was so bummed when it went off. It was a great show, man.
Is that the Paul Reiser show?
Yeah, yeah.
It's back.
It is?
They're doing a new one season only thing right now. In fact, Ringo's, the guy that does a lot of videos for us for Ringo, Brent Carpenter, is one of the guys involved. And they're doing it right now. Helen Hunt and Paul Reiser are doing it. Filming right now in Hollywood as we speak.
Man, that is, my wife's going to be real happy about it. And you know what? Helen Hunt just disappeared too. So I'm glad she's a great actress, you know, really good, very talented. Yeah. He was also played on the soundtracks of King of the Hill, Friends, and feature films, Sex in the City, Superbad, Devil Wears Prada, Payback, Endless Summer 2, and dozens of other films. Did you work with Lyle on Superbad?
Exactly. You did your research and you know everybody. Lyle Workman, my great friend, he did the music for so many great movies I've done.
But I thought Bootsy's, because I had Lyle on the show and I've spoken to him quite a bit. I thought Bootsy, it was all a Bootsy's band. I didn't realize you were
for
on
which
that
one?
Show. For
which one?
For Superbad.
No, I worked with Lyle on that.
That
I worked
so
with
cool.
him on Forgetting Sarah Marshall, 40-Year-Old Virgin, we did a bunch of stuff for Guitar Hero, all kinds of stuff. Lyle is a genius.
Yeah,
man.
He really is.
Guitarist. He's another one of those. When you say, who are my favorite guitarists? I've worked with Lyle Workman, man. Heavy duty.
Brilliant guy. That's my favorite movie soundtrack of all time, Superbad. What a great, So funky, man. Greg's also toured and been touring with Ringo Starr's All-Star Band three separate times. He was also, which is including now, he was also part of a birthday celebration when Paul McCartney surprised Ringo for Ringo's 70th birthday at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. You may also know Greg as his alter ego, Skippy Scuffleton. And Greg's played with England's loudest rock band, Spinal Tap, since 2001. He also played with them at Live Earth in 2007. Glastonbury and Wembley in 2009, and you can hear him on the drums on the Back from the Dead album from 2009. He's recorded and released two solo albums of his own, as he just mentioned. Greg Bissonette is self-titled and Submarine, and he also has an instructional DVD, musical drumming in different styles, and he spends the lion's share of his off time with his two children. Man, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. I know how freaking busy you are, and I really appreciate you making time to do this.
Well, Craig, I don't think anybody's ever gone to that much length to, because it's so perfect. I want to just add a couple things that maybe there's a third solo album called Warning Will Robinson. So there's the self-titled, there's Submarine, and there's Warning Will Robinson. And my brother Matt wrote all those, played bass, played a lot of other things. We both played trumpet and trombone, produced it, wrote the songs, got me ideas on what to play. Also, Ringo's band started. My experience playing with Ringo started when my brother and I were in another band Ringo has called Ringo and the Roundheads. And that was 2003. And we did a lot of the TV shows, like when Ringo does a solo album. He has a new album out now called What's My Name. He always says that in the show, What's My Name? And they go, Ringo. Well, he would do solo albums and we would do, you know, shows like Conan or Letterman or Leno. Anyway, that was Ringo and the Roundheads. And that was Matt and I. From 2003 to 2005. And then I joined the Roundheads. I joined the Ringo All-Star Band in 2008. So I've been in the All-Star Band now for 11 years.
Wow.
Way more than three tours, 11 years. Sometimes we do two tours a year. So it's the greatest musical honor to get to be in Ringo's band, playing alongside, 5 feet away, double drums, with my hero that got me into wanting to be in a band, Ringo.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. He's had so many great musicians pass through there, man.
It's crazy.
All right. What prompted you to move out to L.A., and how did you first get work when you got out there, and what was your biggest challenge once you get out there?
Great. I first moved to L.A. in 82. I graduated from North Texas State with a music ed degree. I thought if I don't make it playing, I could be a band director, like a middle school, high school, college band director. And so my degree was music ed, but my dream was to be a recording session and touring musician. And people would say, well, you can't do both. If you're recording, then you can't go on the road, or you'll miss your recording session context. If you're recording all the time, nobody will hire you. Well, I said, well, look at people like Steve Gadd, Vinnie Colaiuta. They record and tour. And so by the grace of God, I get to record and tour. And how did I start doing it? I basically had a bunch of names, a list of names from my college band director. And I would cold call people and say, hey, I just moved to town. Well, you moved here in 82. There's a strike going on with the musicians union. Yeah, I know, but there's always been strikes. Yeah, but it's a bad time. What were you doing in Dallas? Oh, I was doing a lot of live gigs and recording sessions for commercials. And well, why'd you move here? People want to be negative, and you got to find the positive. I said, well, I moved here because this is Los Angeles, is the recording, touring, music capital of the world, as far as I'm concerned. I want to live here. The sun shines 300 days of the year. I'm from Detroit, where it snows all the time, and it rains all the time. And in the summer, you know, it's super humid and raining, and the state bird is a mosquito. I love Detroit, but I want to live in L.A.
Yeah.
I love L.A., so that's why I moved here. And what was the other part of that question?
How'd you get work when you first started? You were cold calling people, you said.
Yeah, I just cold called everybody. And back in 1982, I had cassette demos of my playing. And I would mail them. There was no internet. I would mail them to people. And then I would follow up a few weeks later. Did you get the cassette tape? Did you listen to it? You know, and just try to go out and hear people, go to jam nights, go to rehearsal studios, music stores, everywhere I could think of where people were talking about who needs a drummer, you know.
How did you know to do two things? How did you know to do those things, like call and then follow up? And then how did you have the balls? Because that's very uncommon for musicians to be that confident, I think, or comfortable is probably a better word, doing that.
Well, I think it came from my parents. You know, Matt probably told you, our parents were musicians. You know, my dad worked a bread route. He worked for Tasty Bread. He would show up at the, he'd leave the house at 4:30 in the morning, and he would show up at the depot. They'd load his bread. He was a bread salesman. He would go to the grocery stores, convalescent homes, high schools, hospitals, and he would deliver bread, and he would get home, and he would go play a gig at night. And it was all about, if you don't do it, you know, we are a capitalist family. I like to play drums and make money. Nobody's going to give me money if I don't play the drums, which is what I love to do. And by the grace of God, I can play drums and get gigs. If I don't play drums, I don't pay the mortgage. I don't pay my health insurance. I don't pay for food. I don't pay for the car payment, you know? And so I didn't have a choice. It was either, are you going to get on the phone and call people, go out and hear people and get gigs and work? Or are you going to, I paid $250 a month to live in a 3-bedroom house in 82. They were renting the house. I was renting one of the rooms. I had to put gas in my car, Craig. If I didn't work, if I didn't get out of bed and work, Ringo tells a funny story. He said when he was 16 or whatever, 17, he said, if you were sitting on the couch in Liverpool, guys would come in and beat you up. You're supposed to be working. Yeah. He was a merchant marine. He traveled all around, you know, the outskirts of Liverpool, and he came home at night, and then he worked in the factories. My dad worked in the factories. My mom worked as a secretary for an insurance firm. Then she came home, made dinner at night. I come from a working class family. I love to work. I'm not, you know, I wasn't 22 years old sitting in a basement playing Call of Duty. There was no Call of Duty. But you got to work, man. You got to work. I love to work. And what I do to work is I play the drums.
Right.
So I come from a working class family that works. I'm happiest when I'm working, making money, playing the drums. I'm not lazy. If you're lazy, you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, man. I agree with you. That's really cool, though, that you weren't afraid, because it's, as you know, most musicians, it's the thought of selling yourself for whatever. I've run a marketing company 21 years, so it's hard for me to understand because I'm not in those shoes. But nothing gets bought unless it gets sold first.
They should do something else if they want to be a musician, because it's a people business. Yeah. I tell drummers all the time when I do seminars, half of the pie is how well do you play? The other half of the pie is how well do you get along with people? If you're somebody that doesn't like being around people, doesn't want to, then good luck being on a bus touring, or good luck, you know, being in a recording studio with other musicians. It's a people business. People want to hire people that they like hanging around. You don't have to be the court jester making people laugh all the time. Laughing is a good way to get people to relax. Kenny Aronoff's one of my heroes in the way that he's a people person. He likes to make people laugh, and people like hanging out with Kenny. They want to tour with him. They want to record with them. And I want to be that kind of guy, the guy that people want to hang around with. You can't just be great at your craft and have zero people skills. I mean, I guess you can if you want to sit in your basement and do YouTube covers all day long and get a lot of posts. But that's one of the issues I have with musicians is, who have you played with? Have you ever jammed with a bass player? Or are you following a song on YouTube and playing the cover really well? That's not your time. That's the track you're following's time. You got to play with a bass player who might be at sound check really depressed because his girlfriend just broke up with him and he's dragging, or the guitar player that had 3 mocha chocolate yayas and is rushing. You got to keep the groove, man. You got to play with other musicians. That's how I grew up, and that's why I think I work a lot, is because I love playing with other humans with a heartbeat.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. It's funny. I had Kenny on the show, and he said something very similar about how important it is, you know. I'm going to throw out the names of some artists you've worked with. If you could talk about how you got the gig and a funny or a cool or interesting story about your experience with them. Let's start with David Lee Roth.
Well, I went to an audition for Vinnie Vincent. Vinnie used to play guitar in Kiss, and Vinnie had an album that he was working on. His band was called the Vinnie Vincent Invasion. And he, at the end of the rehearsal, said, "You're not quite right for my band. I've already hired a guy, actually, but I didn't want to I'm already thinking of hiring a guy. I didn't want to tell you not to come down. But this guy's really great, and he drove out here. He knew all my music. Bobby Rock, he was in that band. But I think you'd be good for Dave Roth. And I said, Dave Roth, who's that? He said, David Lee Roth. David Lee Roth's in Van Halen. No, not anymore. He quit Van Halen. He started a band. He already got Billy Sheehan, and then they got Steve Vai, and they're auditioning drummers. Here's Steve Vai's number. Call him. And Steve's sister, Pam, was helping him organize the auditions. So I went down to the audition, and I did the audition. I loved talking to Billy and Steve, and we hit it off as friends first. We got along. And they both told me later that was a big part of it, because some people came in and complained about the drum set that was a rental kit. And then they said, play a solo. And of course, in my solo, I wanted to work in double bass and Hot for Teacher, because I knew Dave would probably play Hot for Teacher, because 84 was just out with Panama, Jump, Hot for Teacher. I loved Alex Van Halen's drumming, and I loved what he took from Billy Cobham. So I played Hot for Teacher. And then Steve Vai and Billy both said, well, we've already got some songs written. And Steve's from Zappa's band, so he's coming up with all these da-da-da-kish-kish-da-da-kish-da-da-ba. And on my solo, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And I'm writing down on the snare head, on the Sharpie, the rhythms. And he goes, man, you can transcribe drum stuff? And I said, yeah. And he said, where'd you go to college and learn that? I said, North Texas. He said, yeah, I went to Berkeley. I said, I know you went to Berkeley. I know all about you. I've seen you with Zappa. I've seen your band with Tommy Mars and Chris Frazier at the Club Lingerie in Hollywood. And he goes, man, both of them said, you got our vote. We're going to play in Dave's basement. And then Dave, I got a cassette from Steve of a lot of songs they were working on. And I charted out on little file cards a lot of the form. And Dave said, how did you learn all these songs in a day? And I said, well, I made these little notes. He said, you read music, man? I said, yeah. He goes, wow, who was your last gig? And I thought, oh, my gosh. If I tell him Gino Vannelli, he's going to think, oh, that's too light. We're a hard rock band. He goes, Gino, I love Gino, brother to brother. Dave knows a lot about, he's a musicologist. He said, what about before that? And I said, well, the Maynard Ferguson big band. He said, I didn't think he'd know who Maynard Ferguson was. He said, the great high note trumpet player that covered Theme from Rocky and Herbie Hancock's Chameleon. And I said, yeah. And he goes, if you can power that big band, you can power the four of us. Welcome to the band. Payday starts Friday. Let's go get some Mex food.
Holy shit. What a cool story, man. That is so great. Dude, your energy is so high. It's awesome. It's so like, you know, when you're with somebody who's got a high energy level, it just feels good because you're like downloading some of that to me. It just feels good to get that, man, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, I got to be honest with you, Craig.
Yeah.
I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't do drugs, but I do a lot of coffee.
Awesome,
a
man.
Lot of coffee, like Dave Grohl, fresh pot. I love caffeine. So I'm buzzing on about five espressos right
now. There you
right?
go, brother, right here.
There
man.
You go.
I'm right with you. Thank you. That was a great, funny story or interesting story about, and I'm sure there's millions, nothing like, I'm not looking for gossip or anything like that. Funny or interesting story about the Dave gig. No, that you, do you have one?
I got a lot of great stories, but I mean, that was a funny story. I mean, I didn't think in a million years I was going to get that gig. And I just, I went, you know what? I'm a believer. I pray a lot. I said, mm-hmm. God, I don't want to get branded. My prayer when I was 14 was like, God, help me get the Maynard Ferguson gig. And I got the Maynard Ferguson gig. Yeah, I worked really hard at practicing and networking. But that's a funny story how I got that gig. But I felt like my prayers were answered. And I prayed, God, I don't want to be branded as a big band jazz guy all my life, even though I love Maynard Ferguson. And I prayed about it. I want to be in a rock band like Journey, Van Halen, or Genesis. Well, guess what? My pal Steve Smith was in Journey. Alex Van Halen, he's in Van Halen, Whip Out Your Driver's License, that's his name. Phil Collins was in Genesis with Chester Thompson. All of a sudden, David Lee Roth leaves Van Halen, starts his own band. I mean, that's like, wow. And then when we were recording up in Berkeley, this is a funny story. We were recording Eat 'Em and Smile up in Berkeley, California at Fantasy Studios. Steve Vai, Billy Sheehan, and I, Brett Tuggle, who you mentioned, thank you, great piano player, singer. He just got inducted in the Musician Hall of Fame, and I got to play along with it there. That was last Sunday. He wasn't in the band yet. We didn't have a keyboard player yet, but we're recording, and Steve Perry's got his ear to the room, and Dave's not in the studio yet. Billy and Steve and I were listening to the playback the night before of Tobacco Road. Bow, 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 bow. And Steve Perry opens the door, and Billy and Steve and I are there. He's recording with Journey in the next room, but Steve Smith had left the band, and they were looking for a drummer.
Oh, my God.
Steve goes, man, that's a cool version of Tobacco Road. And he comes over to me and he goes, you should try out for Journey. You'd be good in Journey. I said, Steve, I'm in David Lee Roth's band now. And he goes, but you could be in Journey. I said, oh, I prayed about being in Journey, but I'm in David Lee Roth's band. He goes, but you could be in Journey. I said, oh, thanks, but I'm in David Lee Roth's band. It was crazy.
That is crazy, so, man.
Watch what you pray for.
Yeah, man, that is crazy. You know, it's truly amazing, too, that somebody would go to an audition with guys of Vi and Sheehan's caliber and bitch about the drum set. That is like...
Well, check it out. I have Facebook. I have Instagram. I have all the social media, but I really try to not read negative comments because you're going to find people that complain about anything. Yeah. They can have a great gig, Craig. They can be on a Learjet and they can complain that they got the wrong, like Spinal Tap. When you fold this sandwich, it's heaven. They can complain about anything. By the grace of God, I'm playing the drums and people are paying me. And I have an 18-year-old daughter and a 21-year-old son in college. And I live in Southern California. And I do all this by playing the drums. What do I have to complain about? I learned later from Steve and Billy, a lot of drummers complained because it was like an old rental kit and the double bass drums were over there. It's funny because Matt Sorum was one of the first guys to walk out. And I'm in this line with like 200 drummers. I said, Matt, because Matt played in E.G. Daly's band with my brother, Matt. You remember Pee-wee's Great Adventure?
Yeah, Herman? The movie. Yeah.
Remember the girl that was Pee-wee's girlfriend, Dottie Biddle? Dottie, my bike. My bike's mad at the animal. Well, Dottie, E.G. Daly, had a band. She's a singer. And Matt Sorum played drums. And my brother Matt played bass. And I see Matt Sorum walk out. This is way before The Cult or Guns N' Roses wasn't even thought of then. So I said, Matt Sorum, how'd it go? He goes, ah, man. He talks kind of like this. Ah, man. They wanted me to play double bass. I don't play double bass. I'm going, get my feet going.
Yeah.
The next guy walks up, Russ McKinnon, who was a buddy of mine from North Texas. I said, Russ, how'd it go? He said, they said I didn't hit hard enough. I'm going, hit hard. Get the hand moving. And then another guy walked out, and I heard him telling somebody, Steve Vai had all these really complicated Zappa kind of rhythms, and I couldn't follow it. I got a Sharpie in my bag. Write the rhythms on the snare. So you kind of sit back sometimes. You know, we have two ears and one mouth, and we should talk half as much as we listen. And I was listening to all these people talk. Oh, they had two bass drums, but they were all separated, and the drums were horrible. Don't complain about the drums. Just play.
Yeah, man. That's amazing. Santana. How did you get the gig work with him? What'd you do?
I got a phone call from a producer named Casey Porter. And Casey Porter said, hey, man, I'm doing a session up in San Francisco at the record plant. But I called Vinny Colaiuta, who's one of my hero favorite drummers. Ringo first, you know, but then Vinny Colaiuta, Tony Williams, who I got to study with, Buddy Rich.
Oh, wow.
John Bonham. And the producer, Casey, said, I called Vinny Colaiuta, and he can't make it. It's next Tuesday and Wednesday, and he recommended you. Now, that's the kind of guy Vinny Colaiuta is. He's got a great soul. He knows he's the best, and so he doesn't have to worry about being insecure. A lot of people would say, oh, I can't do the session. Bye, click. He said, I can't do the session. But you should call my friend Greg. So Vinny couldn't do the session, so he recommended me, and I said, great, I'm available, let's go. He said, cool, it's at the record plant, and I'll fly you up, and we'll record for 2 days. And before I hung up, I said, who's the artist? And at the time, Carlos Santana hadn't been as huge as he was in Santana. He was doing a lot of recording, but I don't think the records were selling amazingly. And so he recorded this album right here.
There you go. Supernatural.
I said, so who's the artist? And he said, Carlos Santana. I said, wow, Carlos Santana. I'm a big Santana fan. I study Afro-Cuban drumming a lot. And I was a huge Santana fan. I know Oye Como Va, Evil Ways, Black Magic Woman, which we all do in Ringo's band with Greg Raleigh. So anyway, I show up there, and before we record, I go into the kitchen, and there's a big screen video with a VHS playing, and it's Papa Joe Jones playing Caravan, and Carlos Santana's watching it. And I said, "Hey, Carlos, I'm Greg." And he goes, "Yeah, I know. You're the guy that played on that Buddy Rich thing with Steve, with Dennis Chambers and Louis Belson." I said, "You watch that?" He said, "Yeah, a lot." Whoa. And he pops out the VHS tape, and he's written on it, "To Greg, with gratitude, love, Carlos Santana." He made me a copy of that.
Oh, my God. How freaking cool is he?
He's cool. He's cool.
Wow. What a good story.
Thank you.
Tell me top three, just for the listeners, this is an abbreviated interview because Greg's got to boogie, so this is going to be shorter than used to. Top, because people are probably expecting me to ask you certain things, and I'm not going to be able to. Top three experiences you've had musically.
Ah.
And why?
Well, number one would be the first time I played with double drums with Ringo. And Matt was there. That was Ringo and the Roundheads, 2003. I couldn't believe I was playing double drums with Ringo. And the other one would have to be another Ringo moment with the All-Star Band, when, as a surprise, he had no idea, but it was his 70th birthday. And we did a surprise sound check with Paul McCartney. And Paul came out at Radio City Music Hall, and we surprised Ringo doing birthday. And he's sitting 5 feet from me, my hero, my drumming hero, and great friend. And to see the look in his eyes, he looks at me and he goes, "How long have you known about this?" We're playing. I said, "Oh, about a month." And he's like, "Oh, man, thank you." And so there's Ringo next to me. There's Paul in front of me, the two living Beatles that are still around, and we're doing birthday. And gosh, the third one, the third musical experience that would be the highlight. Maybe playing with Matt at Castle Donington with David Lee Roth and Steve Vai and Brett Tuggle at Monsters of Rock. And the opening bands were Megadeth, Kiss, before they put their makeup back on. And this other band that nobody really knew that much about, Guns N' Roses.
That's funny.
It was a huge... they were big by then. But it was like Helloween, Megadeth, Guns N' Roses, Kiss without their makeup, David Lee Roth. That was a blast. 107,000 people. Wow. That was super fun.
Any things that you've done that at the time were difficult for you to do, but you got out of your comfort zone and did them, and they turned into be really big breaks for you?
Yeah. Well, I do study a lot of Afro-Cuban music, and I have a great teacher named Jimmy Branley. He's from Cuba. And when I got to that session with Carlos Santana, I was really nervous because Raul Rical was playing congas. And I said, "Raul, I didn't want to mess up the clave. I wanted to make sure to play the clave correctly, because it's either 2-3 rumba, rest, 1-2, 1-2-3, or 2-3 son, rest, 1-2, 1-2-3, or 3-2 rumba, 1-2-3, 1-2, or 3-2 son, 1-2-3, 1-2. And I said, "Raul, which clave would you like to do on this tune?" And he looked at me and he goes, "Bro, I'm Polynesian and German."
That's awesome. What a great response.
He said, Santana is a fusion. Yeah, in the beginning, there was a lot of Afro-Cuban stuff, but we fused things together. So it turned into a really great learning curve for me. It depends who you're playing with. If you're in a band with Giovanni Hidalgo and Jose Luis Quintana, Changuito, and Carlitos del Puerto, and Cuban musicians, you better know where the clave is. But in Santana, it's kind of a fusion of Carlos is from Mexico, Mexican folkloric music, Afro-Cuban music, rock and roll. It's a lot of different things.
How cool is how much you must have felt like a million pounds lighter when he said, "I'm Polynesian and German."
Polynesian and German.
Oh, you must have been like, "Thank you, man. This is what makes my
life." I said, great, because I'm French, English, Irish, Dutch, and Scottish.
Let me ask you this. To become excellent, you know, there's always a price to pay and a sacrifice. I was curious if you've had what sacrifices, not if, I know you have, what have been the sacrifices you've had to make to become successful?
you're going to be upset with me on this one, but
no,
I don't
know.
I don't. The word sacrifice to me means that you missed something, or you gave something up to get something else. And because, you know, I mean, being a dad, as you know, is to me, it's the greatest gig, and the thing I love doing the most is being a father, being a dad. But my favorite thing to do besides being a dad is be a drummer. And right. So the times I've practiced, the times I've taken lessons, done gigs, gone to music school, toured, done recording sessions, I don't look at them as, gosh, I could have been out, you know, playing baseball or at the beach, because I still played a lot of baseball. My next favorite thing to do besides play drums is to play softball and to watch the Dodgers. So I watched I have not missed one Dodger game, Craig, in 4 years. I have MLB.
Really?
I have MLB.com app on my iPhone. I have the big screen, the flat screen in front of my life cycle bike. And I have Spectrum Channel 68, 24/7 Dodgers. I've watched every single Dodger game the last 4 years. So that's when I work out and ride the bike. If we could be in China with Ringo, I'm watching the Dodgers and getting my hour on the bike. But so I don't look at it like it's a sacrifice. I just look at all the gigs, all the practice time as I had fun.
Right.
I love playing drums.
I totally
get it.
It's
kind of a cop-out, but it's the truth.
No, it's not a cop-out. It's totally true. I get it. Do you work out an hour a day on the cycle?
I do an hour a day on level 4. I'm not like level 9, but while I'm watching the Dodgers, I'm doing level 4 on the exercise bike, life cycle bike. And then I swim an hour a day in a pool, a really great Olympic-sized pool at my gym nearby. It's a heated pool, 24 it's all open all year round because we're in LA and it's warm. So yeah.
So you're doing 2 hours of cardio a day?
Yeah.
My
pool thing isn't like for as a drummer. I got a buddy of mine, Dr. Luga Podesta. He was the Dodgers doctor.
Yeah, that's right. Years. I knew that name. That's so
and
funny.
He said, look for pitchers for drummers. Don't take your arms out of the water and go nuts. You can mess up your shoulders. Keep your arms in the water, breaststroke this way. When you go backwards, keep your arms in the water and get more resistance. So I'm not like cardioing out in the pool. It's more for when you swim, you exercise every muscle. So that's more for, I don't do weights, but that's my weights in the pool. And then the cardio's on the bike, you know.
That's really impressive, dude. That is awesome.
Well, I'm 60 and I want to be 100. Ringo and I talk a lot about, you know, he's in the best shape of anybody I know. He's 79. When we go on the road this summer, he'll be 80. He's got ripped abs and cut arms. He's a vegan. He's always in the gym in the morning, you know, he's on like probably the highest level and on the incline going for it on the treadmill. He's an inspiration, man.
That's awesome. He is in great shape.
He doesn't eat sugar. You know, sugar, white sugar is bleach.
Oh,
when you eat white sugar, you're eating bleach, and bleach causes cancer. White bread, white sugar, white rice, that's bleach, man.
Dude, you're preaching to the choir. I eat pretty healthy. Your brother was trying to get me to eat the other night. Let me get you a snack. And my wife's like, he's not going to eat it. So I'm with
you
on that. He
wanted you to go to Shake Shack, right?
No, we were in the green room. It was delicious food. It was an amazing meal, but I had like chicken breast, broccoli, tiny little bit of jasmine rice, and that's it. And he was like, have pot, you know, he was up with the snacks with my wife, you know, and they were like, and she's like, he's not going to eat it. Don't even bother. And he puts one in front of me, goes, eat this. I'm like, no, man, thank you.
Well, Ringo looked at one of us on the plane last year and he says, why are you eating that Clif Bar, brother? And my friend said, well, it's protein bar. It's healthy. And he grabs it and he goes, 30 grams or 17 grams of sugar, really? And he goes, if you're the guy on the cliff that I didn't see in the gym this morning, you know. Exactly. He's great. Because he loves us. He cares about us.
That's cool, man. Hey, what's the best decision you ever made?
Oh, wow. The best decision I ever made was to get married and have kids, because I love being a dad. I'm a divorced dad against my will, but if I wouldn't have gotten married, I wouldn't have had kids. And having my son, Noah, who's 21, and my daughter, Mary, who's 18, it's just the greatest. And I would not, you learn so much, as you know, Craig, being a dad.
Yeah.
I learn every day. I'm on a constant quest to to be a better man because I'll be a better dad.
Well, too, now they're approaching the age. They're going to actually give you the attaboys, the thanks, because you don't get that, as you know. It's like a thankless job for a long, you know, as far as like feedback, you know, and there's like sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't, sometimes they got to learn. But once they hit their mid-20s, they actually come back to you and say, I really appreciate what you told me. And I felt very rewarding, not because a compliment, but that I did something good for them and they're happy about it, you know, so you'll be.
I bet you're a great dad.
Oh, I'm probably okay. Thank you, man. I'm always trying to get better at everything, you know?
Yeah, it's all we can do. And that's the other, if I had two words in my vocabulary in 2019, those two words would be grateful and trying to always give thanks. Because, man, you can be in the shower in the morning and go, man, 75 years ago, they didn't have hot showers. There were baths that were drawn and put in pots and heated over flames 200 years ago. And whole families took baths in the same pots. You know, turn on the hot water and, man, you wake up with a warm shower. It's crazy. I mean, we take things so for granted. This, the iPhone, wow, the greatest invention of my lifetime. I can call you, I can Skype you, I can FaceTime you, I can do FaceTime audio from Australia to you for free, I can take videos, I can, you know, learn, I have a metronome there, I can do voice memos, I can research YouTube and Drumeo and Drum Channel, and I do Drum Channel constantly, I do lessons on Drum Channel through my phone. It's just nuts.
It is crazy, man.
I'm super thankful. I tell my kids, man, when I was your age, you know, they didn't have bottled water.
That's true.
Weren't you thirsty? I drank from the tap. You drank from the tap.
Yeah, yeah.
I even drank from the garden hose.
Of course.
I'm still alive.
Yeah.
They didn't have cell phones. We got the phone on the wall, you know. Anyway.
And then when someone would call, it'd be like, oh, my God, someone's calling. Let's go.
Yeah. And it would ring forever until they decided to hang up.
That's right, man.
It could ring for 5 minutes. Oh, I come in from outside playing baseball. The phone's ringing. Where were you? I've been ringing for 5 minutes. I was out playing ball. And then the tape recording phone machine happened. Right. Beep, check your messages. And now everything's just right there. Oh, I got a text. You know.
No, it's pretty amazing.
It's amazing.
Man.
I'm super thankful.
Greg, most important things that you've learned about yourself.
That I will procrastinate if I don't have deadlines. And so now I'm trying to knock things out before the deadline, you know. That's one of the most important things. I also tend to think, oh, I got a session at 1, which I do today. Oh, I can talk to my new friend Craig Garber till 12:59. And it's away. Well, it's not a few minutes away. It's gonna take you 10 minutes to get there. So you'll show up at 1:10, so you're keeping the engineer waiting. Oh, he'll be cool. We can go a little longer. Well, if that goes a little longer, I'm supposed to meet my daughter for lunch at 3:00. You know, so I got to build in time because I'm one of those guys that always thinks I can do more in a day than I really could. I should do one thing tomorrow, you know, that I thought I'd take one thing out of there a day, and I'll probably be more on time.
Yeah, I get you, man.
Because I want to respect other people's time. I don't want to be late for stuff. You know, if you're late for sessions, especially union sessions, they won't call you back. Yeah. If you can't read music, I did an episode of Family Guy a couple months ago, 6-page charts, 100-piece orchestra. If you can't read really well, they're not going to call you back. You're wasting their time.
Yeah.
But thank God I can read.
Hey, two questions, and I really appreciate your time. Tell me about a specific experience that changed your life or altered the way you think about things.
Repeat the question one more time.
Yeah, sure. Tell me about a specific experience that changed your life or altered the way you think about things in general.
You're going to think I'm copping out, but I'm being honest.
No, man.
The 2 days in my life that I held my kids in my hand when they were born, I went, holy cow, it's not about me anymore. And that's cool. When things become not about you, like Craig, for yourself, I'll bet you any money that you do and get out of bed and do a lot of things, whether it's making money or keeping yourself in shape, because you want to be there for your kids.
Oh, All of a sudden,
I went, wow, okay, it's not about me anymore. The more drummers, guitar players, musicians that can start to say, hey, taking care of yourself, making money, being the best you can be, is great when you're single, great when you're even a divorced guy like me who's who is divorced against my will. But now I have kids. My kids came along in my second year of marriage and my fourth year of marriage. And nothing changed my life more for the better, because I'm living because I have a purpose to try to be, as we said, the best dads we can be. That changed my life.
Yeah, and as you get older, that will become stronger, because you are getting older, and there's less of them for you, because they have their lives, their families now and stuff. So that becomes even more powerful. It has for me anyway. Like, you know, when they come over, I'm always, you know, I always used to be working. I'm never working now. When my kids are here, we're all present. I'm present.
There you go. That's I'm the same way.
And last question, what's been the biggest change in your personality, Greg, like let's say over the last 10 years, and how much of that change has been intentional and how much is just a natural process of aging?
Well, I'll be honest again. My upbringing in Detroit and my parents, very outgoing people and very honest. I always say my dad went to therapy 5 days a week. Your dad went to therapy 5 days a week. I know some people that go to therapy every couple of weeks and they work on themselves. Now, my dad went to therapy every day, 5 days a week from about 4:30 to 6:30, 2 hours of therapy. Yeah. After he finished his bread route, he cashed his check and he and his buddies went next door to the bar. And about 12 guys sat around the table drinking beer, complaining about everything to each other, having these bitch sessions. Yeah, my kids are doing this. My wife's doing this. The car broke down and did this. I'm not making enough money for this. My mortgage is, and they, well, here's what I do. And here's what I, and so instead of a therapist that sits there and goes, I can understand how you must feel about that. it was a bunch of dudes spilling their guts and giving their opinions. Have you ever read Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus?
Ages ago. Yeah, I sure have.
Well, that book
ages ago
really hits home with me, because women, and this is just a generalization from that book, but women are more about feelings. And honey, the car's making this funny noise. Well, honey, I told you to take it to the mechanic. It's probably the brakes. Billy, I don't want you to tell me what to do. I just want you to listen to me. I'm feeling like you don't listen to me. Well, honey, I'm telling you what to do. Men want to go, okay, bro, Craig, here's what I'd do.
Here's the to-do list and bang, bang, bang. Yeah.
Yeah. And bros always want to help each other.
Yeah.
Women at lunch will be all, oh, I can't imagine how that makes you feel. Feel is number one. Guys are like, Craig, here's what you should do, bro.
Right.
You should. So my dad had that therapy 5 days a week. So now it's a different time these days. Every time's a different time. If you ask my dad what it was like in 1956 when he got married, or 1959 when I came along, or 1964 when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, it's always been a different time. Oh, those Beatles with the long hair. Oh, Jimi Hendrix. Oh, acid rock and Woodstock and the drug culture and this and that and the war in Vietnam. The one thing I've learned more than anything, and I'm still working on, is there's a time and a place to say things. And not every place that you go is the right time to say things. I've got a lot of opinions. I've got a lot of opinions about a lot of things. I'm 60 years old.
Right.
And I tell my kids all of my opinions. But being on a recording session, you could have 20 people with 20 totally different opinions about life, about faith, about politics, about health, about what they eat, what they drink or don't drink, drugs, whatever. I'm learning the older I get to just vent about things like my dad did at his therapy group. My dad was in a bar talking with guys that went home to their families and went to work and they had some picnics. I'm a drummer that gets to travel around the world, again, by the grace of God. I'm doing seminars for hundreds and hundreds of people at a time, and they're asking me questions. I just did a week down at University of Miami, did a couple of days at University of Las Vegas, Nevada. These college kids are asking me questions, and I got to be careful because I could be put really easily on Facebook or Instagram, and then the world hears my opinion. The world doesn't need to hear my opinion. If someone wants to ask me my opinion at Starbucks, cool.
Right.
But you got to be real careful as we get further and further with social media, what we're doing right now. A lot of people want to spill their guts about stuff that some of that needs to just be.
Yeah, we really don't need to know.
We don't need everything. Yeah. So that's what I'm learning the older I get.
Very cool. Hey, you know what? I didn't even ask you what could we promote? I know you got social media accounts. I should have asked you before we started. I was just in a rush to get this going. What's going on now that we can promote?
Thank you. You can promote my drum company. I'm with a phenomenal new drum company called Dixon, D-I-X-O-N. And they're the greatest drums in the world for me. They make all kinds of drums for all kinds of price levels. And I do a lot of drum clinics around the world. Ringo, the first gig we did, the first rehearsal that I talked about, he gave me this big hug and he says, I hear you go around the world telling drummers how great I am. You got to be in the band.
That's so cool.
And I love going around.
Oh my God, that had to be like a just a precious moment, man.
I was freaking. So Dixon supports me doing that, and they make fantastic drums. My cymbal company, Sabian, S-A-B-I-A-N, if you can promote them. My drumhead company, Remo. My drumstick company, Vic Firth. My Latin percussion company, LP, Latin percussion, cowbells, timbales, woodblocks. Direct sound headphones. I use those whenever I record. They're a great company. And DW double bass drum pedals. If you could promote those companies, if you could promote my last CD that my brother did, Warning Will Robinson. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all the normal places. But if you could promote Ringo's new album, we're going to be going on tour in May.
Dude, coming down here. I just got a notice yesterday.
It's
kind of funny.
We're playing St. Augustine and we're playing
Clearwater. Yeah.
We're playing Ruth Eckerd Hall.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Are you near that?
Yeah, that's 20 minutes away. Yeah, I see tons of shows there.
I'm going to give you 2 tickets for that show.
Oh, dude, I would love to see you. That would be awesome.
I want to meet you. So text me when we hang up and remind me, Craig Garber, 2 tickets for Ruth Eckerd Hall, Ringo. Anyway, promote, if you could, Ringo's new album called What's My Name.
What's My Name by Ringo. Is that, you know what? I looked for your record, the Will Robinson, on social, it's not on streaming, is it?
It's on Spotify.
Okay,
it's
I looked on Apple Music. Is it on Apple? Okay.
It's on iTunes.
Okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I didn't pull it up on Apple.
I believe it is. Great. Anyway, sorry.
Great. No, because it's a great record. I heard the title cut. That's what I said. Man, what a voice you have. It was like, what the hell? You guys
are... I'm one of the longest names in the music business. 15 letters. G-R-E-G-G-B-I-S-S-O-N-E-T-T-E. One of the longest names in the biz. One of the world's drummers.
But I'll tell you what. It's a very... between you and your brother, man, it's one of the most respected names out there. And not just for your talent. You guys are so nice and so genuine. And I really appreciate you taking the time to spend with me. Honestly, man, I know how busy you are. So thank you very much.
You're like a much more polite version of Joe Rogan. I love Joe Rogan. But sometimes, like, I wouldn't play some of the episodes for my daughter, right? But you're like a much, much more politically correct. You're a much more, you can play your interviews for everybody. I wouldn't play Joe's for everybody, but I like Joe Rogan. He had Dave on there. Did you see those?
No, I did not.
David Roth and Joe Rogan.
Not.
Crazy interview, man.
Well, you
check out David Lee Roth on Joe Rogan.
I spent a lot of years being an asshole, so I'm reformed. You know, it was much nicer being this way than that way. So I said, you know, let me just change a little bit. It's just a little less stress, healthier, you know, more positive vibes coming out and going in. So I like that better. But thanks, man. Hey, listen, everybody.
You're really cool. You really did your research too, man. You're a great guy. You must be a heck of a guitar player because you know your stuff.
Well, thank you very much.
Do you play?
Yeah, I do. I've only been playing 4 years.
What kind of, are you playing with other people?
No, my teacher's now beating me up to get out, so I have to do that. That's the most
important thing.
Yeah,
that's you know what Ringo told me, man? This is going to blow your mind. It'll blow everybody's mind because he says, why are you warming up, like backstage? I said, well, when we play Black Magic Woman, I play that drum solo. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, I never warm up. He said, in fact, I never played the drums unless I was playing with the other guys. I said, you never sat down and just played drums to play drums? He goes, why would I? I want to play with other musicians. I went, that blew my mind.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty deep, man, from Ringo Starr. Hey, I know you got to cut out of here. Let me just tell everybody again. It's Greg Bissonette. He's got a really great, your YouTube channel is great, man. You're very interactive. You're very kind to all your listeners. If you want some questions answered, you know, and I guess go to his website or just follow Greg's. It's Bissonette, Bissonette. Greg with two G's.
I know what else you can promote for me.
Yeah.
I have a school at drumchannel.com.
That is
Drumchannel.com. I have a school there.
Is that just you or is it loads of people or it's you teaching drums?
It's me teaching drums, but there's some other teachers as
well. That's awesome. So check out drumchannel.com. That is really cool. I'm glad you're doing that. Dixon Drums, Sabian Cymbals, Remo, Vic Firth Sticks, Latin Percussion, Direct Sound, Headphones, and there was something else there. And
DW Double Pedals.
DW Double Bass Pedals. And Greg's learning a whole back, so go easy on him. And look for the next album from the Mustard Seeds with the foreword by Carla Beck. Hang on.
Hey, I got a funny story.
Yeah,
Sheehan's story. Billy Sheehan's story. Eat 'em and Smile Tour, mm-hmm. 1986. We're going to play in Detroit. And this gal that I hung out with when I was in the sixth grade, she was going to come to the show with her husband, right? So I put down on the guest list Carla, Carla Beck, Beck. And so I just wanted to make sure my family was in and was on the guest list, you know. So anyway, I kept telling our road manager in the bus, Carla Beck. Did you get Carla Beck? Carla Beck. So when Carla Beck came backstage, I said, hey, Billy, this is my friend Carla Beck and her husband. He goes, Carla Beck? I thought you were a dude. Carl Beck.
Carla Beck. That's quite funny, man.
Carla Beck.
Carla Beck. There you go, man.
She's not a dude. She's a woman.
So
she's a woman who understands.
There you go, man. Hey, hang on. Let me just wrap this up. Thank you, man, for everything. I really appreciate it. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, please share it on your social media channels. We appreciate your support. Thanks very much to Greg Bissonette and to Matt Bissonette and Doug and George and everybody for hooking this up. And please check out Greg's music and support him. And if you're a drummer, go to Drum Channel. You couldn't learn from anybody better or more harder work and with a better work ethic. And most important, remember that happiness is a choice. So choose wisely. Be nice. Go play your guitar and have fun. Or your drums and have fun. Till next time, peace and love, everybody.
Peace and love. I was hoping you'd say that. Peace and love.
Thanks, Greg. We hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, subscribe to the Everyone Loves Guitar podcast, and you can do this online at everyonelovesguitar.com or on iTunes. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star positive review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher our show ranks, and higher rankings mean we get to continue speaking with cool, interesting guests on our show. We'll see you on the next episode, and until then, keep playing your guitar and have fun making music.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.